To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. Amen. Today's text comes from the 13th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, beginning with verse 1 as follows. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we love because he first loved us, dear fellow redeemed. Saw in the newspaper not long ago that Radio Shack had a sale going on, and one of the items that they had on sale was a circuit tester. Some of you know what that is. Few of you might even have one of them on your workbench at home. A circuit tester is a device that tests the continuity of an electrical circuit in an appliance. In a radio, for instance, there has to be continuity of the electrical circuit in order for the music to play. The power has to flow from the electrical outlet to the tuner, to the amplifier, to the speaker, and back to the outlet again. If any one of those components is missing, or if there's a break in the circuit anywhere along the way, the radio won't play. In our text for today, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that brotherly love works much the same way. The love we have for our fellow believers flows from its power source, which is the love of God. Brotherly love carries out many different functions in our lives, but the circuit is always pretty much the same. God's love flows to us and then flows out from us back to God, but also to our fellow man, and especially to our fellow believers. But if there's ever a break in that circuit, and particularly if we cut off the source of our power, God's love toward us, then our lives as Christians will work improperly or not at all. Have you been feeling a little bit disconnected lately, perhaps? Maybe missing a little bit that warmth and kinship that you should have with your fellow believers in this congregation. Well, today's text is like a circuit tester for brotherly love. It's the perfect tool to help you diagnose and fix the problems you might have in this area. That's why our theme this morning is brotherly love is a continuous circuit. Connected to God's love, it shows love for its fellow Christians. And connected to God's promises, it is content with what it has. The section just prior to our text in the book of Hebrews is an interesting one. In it, the writer contrasts the situation of the Old Testament Israelites, God's people of the Old Testament, with God's people of the New Testament, the Christians. He goes to some length to point out the very high and comparatively exalted position we Christians enjoy owing to the grace and love of God. It's true that God brought Old Testament Israel to a very majestic peak, you might recall, to Mount Sinai, where the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, took place. And yet God has brought you and me to an even more majestic peak, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of all believers. He refers to it in our text as Mount Zion. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Wow. That section is referring to you and me, to the believers, and talking about the status we enjoy in Christ. We now find ourselves among the chosen few of God. How shall we then live? In this chapter, the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And in our text for this morning, the writer details the very best way of all for us to serve God. Let brotherly love continue. We aren't to let God's love stop with us. It is to flow through us and to go out to other people. He reminds us that brotherly love is a continuous circuit. When connected to God's love, it shows love for its fellow Christians. The first part obviously talks about the clearest way that we show brotherly love by our relationships and our attitudes over against our fellow believers, by showing hospitality to strangers, by remembering those who are imprisoned and those who suffer among our brethren, by holding marriage in honor and treating spouses with love and consideration. How does your circuit bear up under that test? Is there continuity in this part of your Christian life? Our congregation has members who are sick and shut in, unable to attend worship services. Have you been in touch with them? Have you called them or visited them or dropped them a note? Do you remember them in your prayers? You married people. Do all of your words and your actions over against your spouse always reflect the high honor that is due your spouse within the bonds of holy matrimony, which God himself established? Well, if you're like me, you have to admit that you've probably got a few short circuits in this area. Let's go back to our power source, the love and mercy of our gracious God toward us. How deep that love is. It reminds me of a story I heard once about Daniel Webster, that great American jurist. Webster once left work early and hurried home to the bedside of his wife, who was dying. He was in such a hurry that he forgot his scarf on that winter's day, and when his wife noticed it, she gently rebuked him. "You'll catch a cold if you forget to wear your scarf," she said. Webster rushed from the room sobbing. "Dying, and she thinks of me," he said. Jesus' love for you drove him all the way to the cross. It was that love for you that kept him there during those interminable hours of suffering and pain. What was in his mind during that time? You were. Dying, he thought of you and of me and of sinners the world over who would be released from the prison of their sins through the sacrifice he made there on Good Friday. In chapter 12, the writer said, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." Dying, Jesus thought of us. Can we not now think of him and reflect his love and our attitude toward our fellow believers? Can we not bear in our hearts the needs and distresses of our fellow Christians? Can we not show hospitality to strangers? We may not actually entertain angels unawares like Abraham did on the plains of Mamre or like Lot did in Sodom, but opportunities will come along to open our homes to Christians we've never met before. It's getting to be time when we should think about inviting the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference back to our congregation, and then we will perhaps welcome into our homes Christian pastors that we've never met before. We support the needs of the poor in our community by regularly contributing food to a local charity. Northwest Harvest just picked up another bin full of food this past week. What else can we do? We can bear in mind those of our brethren who are sick or in prison or suffering, visit them, write to them, remember them in our prayers. You can help prepare meals for Ascension members who are facing challenges in their life right now. Patty Darling is coordinating that effort. Above all, let charity begin at home. The writer says you can show honor and love, the honor and love that's due to your spouse and to your other family members, and treat them with love and respect, not grudgingly or as some kind of duty, but out of love for the one who first loved you. Remember the words of our Savior, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." In testing the continuous circuit of brotherly love, the writer next turns his attention away from our attitude toward people and focuses on our attitude toward possessions. The text says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Another lesson of brotherly love is this, that connected to the promises of God's word, we can ignore the temptations toward covetousness. We can be content with what we have. And you know, in our materialistic world of 2013, right here is where a lot of short circuits tend to happen. How easily things that used to be considered luxuries somehow become so-called necessities in our life, isn't it true? We find we have to have the newest car, the latest cell phones, the most up-to-date computers and gadgets, the finest coffee, even though it costs $4 a cup. And the result? Could it be that covetousness begins to creep into our Christian lives? Could it be that the thorns and thistles of the cares and pleasures of this world begin to crowd out and choke the word of God in our lives? Jesus warned it would happen. Only you can answer that question for yourself. For my part, I already know what the answer is. Once again, we need to complete the circuit to the source of our power. We need to reconnect to the only power capable of supplying real happiness and contentedness in life, and that's the sure promises of God in his word. If you're a Christian, it's really very simple. Everything you've got to have, God is going to give you. Let me say that again. Everything you've got to have, God is going to give you. Oh, how can you say that, Pastor? You don't know what's going on in my life, my financial situation, the challenges that I'm facing right now. But it's true nonetheless. How do we know? Because it says so right here. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a quote, by the way, from the 31st and the 118th Psalm. Psalm 118 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm, and for very good reason. Luther had some very daunting challenges in his life, not the least of which was the fact that all of organized Christianity in his day was opposed to him. But no matter what your situation in life, no matter how great your needs or how daunting your challenges, God has promised to be with you and help you. God knows exactly what challenges and sorrows and difficulties you're facing in your life right now. That's why he promises you in this passage, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I really wish I could give you a little Greek lesson at this point because the original language in this passage is so very precious. Did you know that the writer, through the Holy Spirit, uses no less than 5 negatives in this one short passage? The writer says not and never 5 times in order to emphasize the absolute impossibility that God would ever withdraw his love and his mercy from you, his dear child, by faith in Christ. It reminds me of that beautiful hymn in which we hear our Lord say, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. One Christian writer said that this single promise of God is worth more than any signed promissory note that any bank could ever offer. Because unlike any bank or insurance company, God knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow, next month, next year. What a comfort to know that he has already planned the way that he's going to support you and sustain you through difficulties and trials that you don't even know yet are on their way. What security! What freedom this gives us as the children of God. Now we're free to truly serve the Lord and truly serve our brother because we know that God is going to take care of us no matter what. No matter what. Would it surprise you if you woke up tomorrow morning and Mount Rainier, instead of being east of Tacoma, was suddenly west of Tacoma? Seems a little unlikely, doesn't it? It's never going to happen. But the Bible says that it's more likely that will happen than that God would ever withdraw his grace and mercy from one of his dear children in Christ. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. And you can take that to the bank. I've told this story before about how my brother Dave and I once got a lesson in electrical circuits. As young boys, we were visiting a farm near my grandparents' home in Iowa. I happened to be wearing rubber boots that day, and I reached out to touch an electric livestock fence to see if it was turned on, and not feeling anything, I grabbed it with my whole hand. My brother Dave happened by, and for some reason, I reached out and touched him. Dave was not wearing rubber boots. And so at that moment, the circuit completed between the wire, my hand, my brother, and the ground. And as you can imagine, we both got a jolt that rattled our teeth and taught us a very memorable lesson about electrical circuits. That lesson was a painful one. Today's lesson is not. My Christian friends, God's love is the power that can electrify and energize our lives. It can jolt us out of our sleepy complacency and revitalize our relationships with God and especially with our fellow believers. God grant that the power may always be on in our lives. Then for us, brotherly love will always be what God meant it to be in the first place, a continuous circuit. Amen. Please rise.